Does your data center go bump in the night? Are you haunted by the thought of managing thousands of processes that could be automated? Well, boys and girls, Dr. Scripto and his faithful sidekick are here to help combat Scripto Night and provide us with their top 10 reasons not to fear PowerShell 3.0 for Windows Server 2012. Dr. Scripto, get your script on. The mic is yours.
Welcome to the IT Time TechNet Radio. We have Scripto, Dr. Scripto 1 and Dr. Scripto 2. We have Ed Wilson, Senior Writer, PowerShell, and Matt Hester, IT Pro Evangelist, out of Dallas, Texas. Okay, let's get going, guys. We are going to talk about the top 10 things to not be scared about with PowerShell. Dr. Scripto, are you there?
Yes, Blaine, I am here.
How you doing today, Ed Wilson? You're Dr. Scripto 1.
Dr. Scripto is always number one, and I am doing great, Blaine. Good to be here.
Welcome, and Dr. Scripto 2.
Are you scared of PowerShell? You shouldn't be, you little mere mortals. We're going to talk about 10 things that are going to get you going. Sorry. I get a little excited when I talk about PowerShell.
Well, that's okay. Let's get serious for a moment. Let's go ahead and just kick it off, Matt. What we got? We got number one.
Number one is quite simple. When we think about PowerShell, folks, you're waiting for it to go away. Guess what? It didn't. It not only didn't go away, it is now everywhere. PowerShell is in every one of our products. It is in Windows Server, Windows 8, System Center, Exchange is where it started, of course. PowerShell, quite frankly, is just one of those products that is really everywhere that you want to manage systems. And remember, PowerShell's there if you want to find those tasks that you repeat, that you want to, when you do things that you find yourself doing over and over and over again, or if you need to do it over 10,000 servers. The great thing about PowerShell is it's going to be there. It's like savoir faire. It's everywhere. And really, when you expand upon this language, it's PowerShell. It's PowerShell is PowerShell is PowerShell. We don't care if you're taking PowerShell to System Center, PowerShell to Azure. Yes, I said Azure. We'll talk about that in a little bit. PowerShell to just a plain old Windows Server or Windows 8 client. One of the great things about PowerShell is that it is PowerShell and it's consistent. Dr. Scripto 1, anything to add to that?
Well, the thing is that by using Windows PowerShell, you leverage your learning. So this is the really cool thing. I mean, I remember back when I was getting my MCSE, you know, for the very first time on NT351, and with Exchange 4.0, you had to go and go click, 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 you know, and then Exchange 5.0, you had to go click, 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 but it was a different place to click. 5.5, we moved stuff around. 2000, we moved everything around. 2003, you know, it kind of shuffles around. And so what you wound up doing was learning where stuff was hidden at in the GUI. The nice thing about with Windows PowerShell, it's always there. It's always the same. As you said, Matt, PowerShell is PowerShell is PowerShell. And so we always know that if I want to create a new user, you know, it's going to be new user something. And I can use the commandlets that are built in, get command, for instance, and say, find me something that has the verb of new and has the letters user in it of some kind or another. And then we press enter, boom, it's going to list them all out. The cool thing about PowerShell 3 is you don't even have to know what module we've hidden things in, because PowerShell goes off and it looks at all your modules that you have, and it will immediately pull these things up. So we have automatic discovery. And so, yeah, PowerShell is everywhere, and that's a good thing. Nothing to be scared of.
And that's a great thing. And more importantly, comes in our number two, something that's kind of there that we had to change at least one thing, right? Because in PowerShell 2.0, you could type in this nice little switch, get help, name of the commandlet you wanted to look at, and then examples. But if you do that by default in PowerShell 3.0, you get a basically a link to a website. Well, one of the things that we put into PowerShell, and the reason we did this, is that we want to make our updatable help. We want to make our help downloadable. So you can actually, get update help or something like that? I can't remember the command off the top of my head. I'm too crazy right now. But the thing about it is that we can actually update and load our help into our systems and keep that help up to date as our environment comes in. And one of the things that Ed and I were talking about, or Dr. Scripto 1 and Dr. Scripto 2 were talking about before the show, is that sometimes you learn things that you think are brand new, especially with PowerShell 3.0, that you thought, hey, this is a new discovery. This is something they added in, but in reality it was in PowerShell 2.0, and it might even have been PowerShell 1.0. One of the switches with GitHelp that I didn't even know that existed but was in PowerShell 2.0 that I learned. You can use examples, which is there after you update the help, but you can always do the dash online switch, and that was something I learned. But one of the things about PowerShell, folks, the language is designed to help you learn, and help has always been there, and it's going to get even better with some of the enhancements. We'll talk about some of the things that help you get. Not be afraid of this language, because it is such a great and powerful language, and no play on words. It's PowerShell, right? But the point is, folks, you got to learn how to ask it questions, and it's going to help you. It's designed to help you learn to do that thing, whatever it happens to be that you're trying to improve in your infrastructure.
So number two is updated help. How about number three?
Well, this is, and I'm going to let Dr. Scripto 1 take this one over. It is the RSAT tools, because they were kind of fun to play with in Windows 7 days. How have we improved upon that, Dr. Scripto 1?
Well, one of the cool things about the RSAT tools is, of course, you download them. And when you download them, you're going to get them for, you know, Windows 8, and you're going to get them for, 32-bit, 64-bit, whatever you happen to have. But the nice thing about that is that once we download and install them, they're there. They're automatically there. In Windows 7, you would download them, and I mean, I got so many questions from people that were saying, hey, I downloaded, I installed the RSAT tools, but like, I don't have my Active Directory module. Generally, that's what people were looking for, was the Active Directory module, you know, that you would get, at least in the PowerShell world. And it's like, man, where's it at? Well, you got to go back into Control Panel, and then you go into like Software, Programs, Features, whatever that gets called, you know, and scroll around through there. Then maybe you can find over here, it's hidden in the left-hand corner. You click this little checky boxy, and then you go in, and oh my goodness, there's like 50 million things, and you have to get click cap. You go click, 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 click. Yeah, but there was no like click yes for everything. It's like, dude. Well, in Windows 8, it's simple. It's already there. Okay, so you install it, boom, it's already there. Now, if you want to remove stuff, then you can go back in and go click, 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 if you wish. But, dude, to me, I'm going to be using Windows PowerShell, because we have a PowerShell command that's something like, you know, get Windows feature, you know, add Windows feature, set Windows feature, remove Windows feature, I'm guessing. But it's going to be named something like that. Yeah, and you just use Git help, and say Git help space, you know, star Windows feature star, press enter, boom, dude, you'll find it. It's there. And keep in mind that when using Git help, for instance, that we can use wildcards. Wildcards are wild.
Definitely, wildcards are wild. Now, one of the things about this, folks, and the engine has changed so much, and we get a little bit of flack when we talk about this, and Ed, maybe, Ed, you want to tackle this, but RSAT tools for Windows Server 2012 require Windows 8. We do not download them or for Windows 7. So what do we say to customers? They say, well, wait, I got to get a Windows 8 desktop, and I'm like, yeah. Well, what do you say to that, Ed?
Well, yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, I like it, but you know, you don't have to have Windows 8. I mean, you can use Windows 7, and you can use the Windows 7 RSAT tools. Using the Windows 7 RSAT tools, then you'll still have an Active Directory module. Now, it's going to be the old Active Directory module, not the new one. But hey, Active Directory's Active Directory. We're still all coming into this ADSI interface. You know, dude, it's industry standard. Yeah, but, you know, if you've got, say, a Windows Server 2012 Active Directory server up there running around, and you wanted to use that new module, but you've still got your old Windows 7 desktop, hey, use PowerShell remoting. In fact, in Windows Server 2012, remoting's turned on by default. It just simply works. So use enter PSS, and boom, you're connected. Yeah, import the module, boom, it's there. Do the stuff. At that point, you're using the new module and the new commandlets. And I think that we added, I don't know, maybe 200 new Active Directory commandlets. I'm not sure, but, you know, something like that. It's a bunch. And you can still administer those new features. Don't forget, PowerShell is PowerShell. And remoting is right there. That's a strong thing, and it just simply works in 2012. It's already turned on. It's already configured. You just enter the session, type in your credentials. Everything's groovy. So you can do that for your Windows 7 or your Windows XP machine. Yeah, if you got Windows XP and PowerShell 2 installed on it, you can still do remoting and still administer the latest and greatest stuff.
But Windows XP is very scary.
It is scary.
Can we move on to number? Do we have a number? Do we have a number? Four.
Yes, and four has actually already thought of itself. And matter of fact, PowerShell will think of itself before you think of it in this wonderful new thing that we've put inside of the integrated scripting environment called IntelliSense. Now, some of you might be familiar with some third-party add-ons that we had on that kind of gave it that Visual Studio look and feel. But what's great about PowerShell IntelliSense is that as you type in commands and as you actually type in and put in the dash marks and work with the dash marks, you're actually going to get a list of the parameters that are inside that PowerShell command. You know, we have the tab complete, which is there, but this takes tab complete and kind of puts it on steroids and takes it to an entirely different level. But imagine now we have these commands that as we type around the parameters, they go really well. Now, it's even better than that because it'll actually look under the covers of the system you're running on. So let's take, for example, the git service commandlet. If you do git service and dash, and you'll see the list, and you put in display name, and then you hit a space, you actually will get a pop-up list of all the displays or all the services that are currently running on that system. So not only does it help you run your git service environment, your find your services, but it actually helps you properly type in the name of this. Because one of the things I joke about PowerShell is not case sensitive, but it is most definitely spelling sensitive. And when you're typing in long commandlets or putting in names of services or names of those parameters, sometimes you can make a typo and you just drive yourself batty until you get those things right. So IntelliSense would be my number four feature to be something that's going to help you learn PowerShell. Once again, this language is being geared to help you learn into that.
Nice, Dr. Scripto 2. Very good. That was awesome. How about number five?
Well, number five, and I'll take this one, and then Dr. Scripto 1 can add on, but it's one of my favorite things because why learn PowerShell? Why be an IT admin? And I think fundamentally all IT pro admins, I mean this in the most general sense, we're lazy, right? We want to get things done. We want to automate things. We want to make them work. PowerShell helps us, you know, provision hundreds and thousands of servers, and we just want to get it done, right? We want to enjoy our cup of coffee. Hang on, I got to get a sip. But we also want to be able to do things in quick and fashion ways. Well, inside of the integrated scripting environment, we also added the command add-on. Now, this is ultimately what I would call a good way to learn PowerShell. I don't know once you learn PowerShell, you'll write commands this way. But with the new commandlets or any commandlet, you want to know what's all there, and you want to kind of see it in one dialog box. And what happens is in the ISE by default, you get the ability to type in, bring up a commandlet that has an auto search feature. It'll tell you what module it's located in, just kind of like Ed mentioned before. But it's simply a dialog box. It's simply an area where you click features in, you type in your parameters, and when you're done, you can either copy it into your PowerShell script or you can insert it into the command line and have that command properly formatted with proper syntax. And all you did was basically fill out a dialog box. Once again, making it very lazy for us to work on, but I love that command add-on. It's another reason, once again, you learn it's going to teach you PowerShell, but it's a quick way to help write proper PowerShell commandlets. Ed, anything to add to that one, Dr. Scripto 1?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things to keep in mind is a lot of people think that, oh, well, the ISE, the PowerShell ISE, that's for scripting. It doesn't have to be. Matter of fact, you don't even have to turn on script support. Yeah, in order to use the ISE, you can just simply use this as a better scripting environment. Yeah, instead of the PowerShell console. Now, I'm going to let you know a secret. PowerShell console, dude, it's a command prompt. It's a 30-year-old command prompt. We just put PowerShell inside it. But with it being a 30-some-year-old command prompt, dude, there's limitations to what we could do. That was one of the big reasons that we actually created the ISE in the first place, was to give you a better scripting environment. But the scripting part is very loose. You know, it could just, in its most basic form, is just a series of PowerShell commands. So you can type these PowerShell commands in there. You can use show command to create the command. You go click, 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 click. Oh, yeah, I'd like this. You know, it's like shopping, a shopping cart. It's like going to an online place. Well, yeah, I'd like a little bit of this service. I'd like a little TCP/IP. I'd like a little network adapter, you know, la, 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 you know. And you just go through there. You pick these things out, and you can populate the script. You can actually run these things. You don't ever have to save anything if you don't want to. Then you can run these commands one at a time or all at once. Yeah, so yeah, normal people can use this. Yeah, it's called an ISE. It's an integrated scripting environment, but it is a PowerShell environment. And so you don't have to write a script in order to use this stuff.
So they say, normal people. Yeah, right, right. How about number six?
Well, number six, we're going back into the ISE because it has, as Ed mentioned, it's just not just a write script environment. It is so much more. And one of the ones they put in that's also brand new are things called snippets. And what snippets are is they actually give us kind of a structure of a maybe an advanced function or a for each loop or workflows and give us examples of how they work. But what they do is they basically give you a shell of what the PowerShell command syntax would look like. So we're giving you a properly formatted kind of template on how to actually fill in and work with it. Now, snippets come in a couple different flavors, a few different flavors. You can actually, you have some built-in snippets. I think there's about 20 or so, maybe a little bit less. You have snippets that might come down from your own third-party add-on. So when you bring down a third-party add-on, you might have a snippet. And all a snippet is designed to do is to help you get a basic command structure for a PowerShell command or a function or whatever that may be. And then the last one is that you can actually make your own snippets. So if you find yourself creating that same kind of PowerShell construct over and over and over again. And hopefully by now, folks, you've learned that, you know, ISE is one thing, but you can also use Notepad and just do copy and paste if you find yourself doing these things over. But snippets are one way that you can make those kind of portable and put them into modules to give to other admins or just pipe those files somewhere else. Ed, anything to add to snippets? Because I know it's a great feature, but it seems to be something that's kind of just real young inside of PowerShell 3.
It's a stealth feature.
It's a stealth feature.
snippets are cool, okay? Snippets are cool. You know, write that down, take notes, there'll be a test on it later. Now, the thing is that with snippets, you know, you said constructs, but we do have a commandlet that allows you to create a new snippet. Now, one of the things that you have to keep in mind on here, though, is that in order to do this, you now have to set the execution policy. You have to turn on scripting. If you don't, you will get an error. The error will be cryptic. You will not be able to understand the error. You won't know what's going on. You're going to say, "Well, dude, you know, and that's a bad dude instead of a good dude, you know." So, dude, hey, that's a good dude. All
right, dude.
So, but now the thing is, what I like to do with snippets, you know, is I use these for script templates. Now, in the old-fashioned VB script days, I had a number of very well-crafted script templates, and so I could open that template up, you know, make like two or three changes, and boom, I had an entire VB script. You know, I could write a WMI script using VB script as fast as I can use get WMI object because I had very well-crafted templates. Now, in PowerShell 3, you know, put those well-crafted templates for your PowerShell scripts, not for VB script, don't think that would work, but for your PowerShell scripts, put your well-crafted template as a snippet. You know, so that, you know, if you import the Active Directory module and then you do a query to get a listing of all of your computers and you filter it out by OS so that you're only getting your Windows Server 2012 machines and you're populating that and then you're going to use invoke command to run this command against all that stuff, that's pretty standard stuff. I mean, you know, those are the same four steps that you do over and over and over again. So throw that turkey into a template and as a snippet. And so, it'll go on, boom, it's going to load this stuff up or request you for your credentials. And then you just, well, what am I doing now to all of my servers? And that's inside your script block for invoke command.
So for the same reason we use PowerShell for those repeatable things, it's the same reason we use snippets for those repeatable things that we do inside of PowerShell. So it's kind of like a loop inside of a loop inside of a loop. And like looking in mirrors inside the elevator, right?
Oh, that's fun.
Dude.
Wow, dude. Look at that funny fat guy.
Dude. I'll tell you what. Dudes, snippets, rock. How about...
That's incorrect. Snippets are cool.
Snippets are cool. Let me tell you. Snippets are cool. Number seven.
Well, I'm going to let Dr. Script01 take this. Sim commandlets
are awesome. I love the sim commandlets. One of the things is with sim commandlets, it allows you to do WMI, but you're now using the WinRM protocol. So that is one port. And guess what? PowerShell remoting, that's WinRM. It's already turned on by default on Windows Server 2012. So by using a sim commandlet, I don't have to do anything to the Windows firewall. You know, it just is automatically going to work. So now, if I want to, all I need to do is I take my WMI query that I would have used with Git WMI object, and I just change it, and now I use Git sim instance. It's pretty much that simple. But as they say on late night scripting shows, but wait, there's more, because if you act now, then you can create a sim session. So remember that other thing that I was telling you about in our script snippet? I use Git Active Directory, I filter it out, I get all of my Windows Server 2012 servers, and now I want to do something? Well, what if that something is I create a sim session to all of those? So it could be 10, it could be 1,000, it could be 10,000, it doesn't matter. And I store all of those things in there, and now I use Git sim instance, but I tell it the session, not the computer. And so I've stored my session, my sim session object, and boom, now we go off and we connect to all those 10,000 machines, we pull all that stuff up, it's a single command, it works, it is awesome.
And is excited. Hello.
Well, it is awesome when you think about only one port in your firewall to open up. If anybody's done WMI, good luck with that, right?
Good point. Number 8.
Well, number 8, I'm going to take us something. Hopefully it doesn't scare everybody because it's an industry standard word. Number 8 takes us to the cloud.
Ooh,
Oh, not the cloud.
But cloud on
folks,
number 8.
Hopefully we understand that it's there. And one of the things that's new to Windows Azure, which you might have seen in the past, but was mostly used as a platform as a service environment, well, we've added some fantastic infrastructure as a service requirements. So you can actually create your own virtual machines. You can actually provision virtual machines up into Azure. And you can leverage our data centers to do that Hyper-V hosting, but you still have to be responsible for the operating system, the applications, the data, everything else on top of it. The fantastic thing about using Azure infrastructure as a service, well, wait a second. It's infrastructure as a service. So the first question you naturally think is, can I PowerShell into it? The answer to that question is absolutely yes. You can PowerShell into that Azure environment, into what is called the virtual machines feature of Azure, and it allows you to work with and configure those. So think about this. We have Hyper-V commandlets today to make new VMs, set VM, provision VM, config, add VM, add storage, add disks. Those commandlets are almost identical on Azure, except for we add one word. Anybody want to guess what that one word is? Dr. Script01, what's that one word we add?
Azure?
Hey, exactly, it's Azure. That's all we add. It's, if you want to make a new Azure VM, it's new-Azure VM. Instead of new VM, which is what we would use locally on our infrastructure, we simply have the commandlet that allows us to say, hey, look, we're making this VM up in Azure, up in that cloud. So once again, back to that very first thing we talked about, PowerShell. PowerShell is up in Azure. It's up in Office 365. So if you know how to do things locally in your infrastructure, you might have to learn the commandlets a little bit, but for the most part, the construct of those commandlets, the syntax of those commandlets are almost going to be identical to what you do in your on-premise environment. So like we said, everywhere at PowerShell is everywhere. PowerShell is everywhere. Up in the data centers, on-premise, hybrid clouds, it's everywhere inside of it.
Awesome. How about we talk business?
Number nine. We have to talk about PowerShell. Now, this, folks, might scare you, and hopefully you understand that we have all these tools to help learn it. And even though it's really hard to kind of put a number on it, but PowerShell has grown up in a big way. You know, and even with 2008 R2, it's hard for me to say there was about 230 commandlets, because it all depended on what roles you had installed, what features you had there. But in 2012, if you were to install all those roles and features, and I know Dr. Scripto 1 is going to get excited when I mention this number, but there are 2,400 different commandlets.
Woo-hoo!
Now, I don't know. Yeah, 2,400. I mean, how do we get 2,400? It's really, you can't really put a number on it. It's kind of an arbitrary number. But the point you want to make is that ratio. PowerShell has gone almost 10 times larger. And that's just for its server. You know, it doesn't include Windows 8 clients, or the types of things we can do there. It doesn't include what we can do in Azure, Office 365. So there could be even a larger PowerShell world out there for you to explore and use. But PowerShell, folks, has just gotten huge. And it's really exploded, not only from the work that we're doing at Microsoft, but PowerShell has such a fantastic community that they're really contributing to the development of this rich language for your scripting environment. So really the sense of hugeness that PowerShell has gotten is just amazing.
Awesome. And last, number 10.
Well, number 10, I'm going to let our very own Scripto 1 take this, because PowerShell 3.0 has gotten big, folks. And we have a lot of built-in tools to help you learn the language. But a lot of questions that we get asked is, how do we learn this language? Well, very own Dr. Scripto 1, very own Ed Wilson. Ed, you got a new book called The Step-by-Step. Go ahead and plug your book away, because I think it's fantastic.
Sure. Before I do that, okay, so keep a little mystery here. We've got 2,000 and some commandlets, but remember, there's only three that you absolutely have to know. If you know just these three things, you'll be able to find all the other 2,000 commandlets. So get help, get command, get member. If you remember get help, get command, get member, it will save you from number four, which is get lost. All right, now, I write a blog every single day. Matter of fact, I write this blog twice a day right now. It's the Hey Scripting Guy blog. If you haven't heard of it, you've been living in a cave, because it is everywhere. Matter of fact, it's the number one blog on TechNet, has been for a while. This past month, it was actually number one on TechNet and MSDN. But anyway, I digress.
Woo-hoo!
Woohoo! The Hey Scripting Guy blog absolutely rocks. The guy that writes it kind of looks a lot like Robert Redford, and it's a very, very cool thing. Now, in addition to that, a lot of people like to have hard copy stuff. So if you like the Hey Scripting Guy blog, you will love Windows PowerShell 3.0 Step-by-Step. It's coming out by Microsoft Press very soon. I would recommend that you go to your favorite bookseller, online, offline, whatever, and you can pre-order it right now, and then as soon as it's fresh off the press, boom, it'll show up at your house. It makes a great stocking stuffer. Buy a case load of it and hand it out to the little beggars that show up at your house in 8 days for Halloween. Give it to people for Thanksgiving. They will not think you're a turkey. And then when it shows up at the end of the year, it makes, like I said, it makes a great stocking stuffer. Buy three books, one for the house, one for work, and one just in case your coworker steals it from you. It is awesome. You will like it. You will appreciate it.
And
it is awesome,
steal those books.
It is awesome. And ladies and gentlemen, please don't be left out hanging to dry. Okay? Make sure you go out and get that book. That's an excellent book. Hey, Dr. Scripto 1 and Dr. Scripto 2, thanks for joining IT Time Radio.
Blaine, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Awesome job. Thank you very much for the top 10. And with that, gentlemen, it's a wrap.